Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to America's Invisible Heroes, a show dedicated to our veterans and their families. And yes, I'm your host, Consuela Mackey, Executive Director of a grassroots nonprofit organization called Operation Confidence. For those who are new to the show, American Invisible Heroes strives to provide a platform for veterans to be able to share their experiences, heartfelt stories, challenges, and accomplishments. Now, allow me to introduce you to our wonderful hosts, Air Force veteran and Operation Confidence board member Matt Davison, U.S. Army Reserve and board member Charles Whitehead, our announcer, Brooke Kadaski, who's also a board member, and Taylor Marcella, who is a board member and also an announcer, and U.S. Army veteran Martha Elena Varela, who's over our new segment, Women's Veterans, which is called Lifeline for Women Vets. We're so excited to have you all today, and good afternoon to you all. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Great.
Hello.
Hello. And I'd like to welcome our LA Talk Radio listeners and viewers. Well, now we're going to turn it over to Matt, who has a phenomenal segment for us. Come on, Matt, let's talk.
Yeah, I'd like to speak today about adaptive vehicles. The current adaptive automobile grant for disabled veterans is an incredible benefit for those who need this program. The VA is authorized to provide a one-time grant of $21,488.29 to a veteran who is unable to drive due to a service-connected disability. This grant may be used for the purchase of a specially equipped automobile. However, the one-time use of this grant does not take into account modern vehicular needs for veterans and vehicles in the 21st century. A single-use grant for vehicle adaptations is not enough considering the average American who owns multiple vehicles in their lifetime. Veterans who have previously received a grant must pay any expenses associated with the purchase of a new vehicle themselves. The cost of replacing a modified automobile with a used or new vehicle ranges from $21,000 to $65,000, which is a substantial sum for most consumers. These substantial costs, coupled with inflation, present a financial hardship for many disabled veterans who need to replace their primary mode of transportation once it reaches its life of service. The VA Automobile Allowance and Adaptive Equipment Program was created to assist eligible veterans and service members with a service-connected disability to purchase a specially equipped vehicle. If you need more information on this program for adaptive vehicles, contact va.gov. That's va.gov. And they can give you more information on how you can pursue a grant yourself for your own adaptive vehicle. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. That was good information. Now, Brooke, please share your story about Army First Lieutenant Vivian Millie Bailey.
You got it. Army First Lieutenant Bailey commanded a segregated all-female unit during World War II and has been helping service members ever since. Now at 102, she continues to live life to the fullest. In fact, she just went skydiving for the first time near her home in Columbia, Maryland. Wow. When President George Bush did it, that made me realize that people who were not young could do it, Bailey said during a phone interview. It was just something I always thought I would like to do. That can-do attitude has taken her far in life. Bailey was discharged after the war ended, but in a way, she never stopped serving. During the Vietnam War, she and a group of friends put together care packages for deployed service members. She did it again for troops during Desert Storm. Since 2004, she's been packing boxes, soliciting funds, and calling elected officials for contributions as part of an effort that has sent hundreds of care packages overseas. The service members who receive the boxes are pretty vocal about what they want to see in them, she said. We used to send quite a few personal hygiene things, but it became clear that the main things the soldiers wanted were snacks, Bailey said. Bailey has earned several accolades in her lifetime, including from former President Donald J. Trump and other lawmakers. Recently, Maryland's Howard County dedicated a park to her. She joined officials for the unveiling of the new Vivian C. Millie Bailey Neighborhood Square. Bailey said there are very few things that she'd like to do, but there is one item left on her bucket list. Meet Michelle Obama, she said, referring to the former First Lady. President Obama received me at the White House in 2015, but Mrs. Obama wasn't there. Bailey said she's received two letters from Mrs. Obama over the years, so hopefully that dream can be checked off her list too.
Oh, she sounds so cute. Thank you so much. Okay, Taylor, please introduce our guest speaker for today.
You got it, Connie. Today's guest is Richard Dick Southern, Region 9 Director on Vietnam Veterans of America National Board, a position to which he was first elected in 2007. Southern was drafted into the U.S. Army in 1966 and trained as an Army medic. His permanent duty station was B Company in the 5th Medical Battalion, 5th Infantry Division, Canic, Fort Carson, Colorado. He received an honorable discharge in 1968. Southern was elected Secretary of VBA Chapter 391 in Tuolumne, County, California in 1996, excuse me, a position he had held ever since. He was elected Central District Director of VBA California State Council in 2000, and from 2001 to 2003, served on the board of the Vietnam Veterans Assistance Fund, now the Veterans Support Foundation. He has served as President of the California State Council, and he currently serves as its second Vice President and Chief Service Officer. In addition to veteran service, Southern serves his community with the today's guest is Southern. In addition to veteran services, Southern serves his community with the Independent Order of Odd Fellows, where he has served as District Deputy Grand Master and Lodge Secretary. He is a past director of the Tuolumne Parks and Recreation District and serves on the Advisory Council of a local agency on aging. Southern is also citizen advisor to the Tuolumne County Transportation Council, Tuolumne County Transit Agency, and he has chaired a community festival for 17 years. Take it away, Southern.
I'll help you out. That is Tuolumne.
I'm like, Tuolumne, Tuolumne. My apologies, sir.
Pronounce it this way. To all of me.
Oh, to okay. All of me. I like that. I like that one so much better. To all of me.
It's a Miwok tribe, Native American word. And that's it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, tell us about what you're doing now and a little bit more information for our listeners out there.
Well, I think about, just like everybody else, it's been 14 months of not doing a whole lot.
I know, huh?
Outside of home and local errands and so forth. It's been the great interruption, I call it, of 2020. And we're slowly coming out of it. I'm still Region 9 director. I visit state councils. I just got back from Salt Lake City last weekend, visiting the state council there. My territory, my region covers 6 southwestern states, Hawaii, Guam, and the Philippines. And I get out to the Philippines and Guam once a year, usually. 2020 was an unusual year, didn't make it. So that keeps me busy, along with being the chief service officer for California State Council's Veteran Service Program. And local activities. Been married for 56 years. Wow. Have one daughter, two grandsons, 3 great grandsons. Yeah, there you go. And we all live in the same community.
Okay.
That's so I continue with chapter work and that kind of thing also.
Well, you're a guest of our co-host, Matt. Matt, you have some information and stories that you and Dick have done together?
Well, it's been a long time. I'm not sure when is the last time I saw you, Dick. It must have been up in, well, we had a conference or get-together council. But it's been a long time. I know that we were together at the BVA conference in St. Louis way back in the day.
Yeah. It's probably been about, I would say, 13 to 15 years. The last time I saw you was at the Fresno Airport, where we had a state council meeting and you made a presentation.
Right. Yeah, I remember. One thing I think the listeners need to know, because the council is really involved with every aspect for helping veterans that you could imagine. And I wonder, Dick, if you could go through those services and explain to our listeners what all that you really do.
Well, we have 26 chapters throughout California, ranging from Redding to San Diego. And they all do community events, fundraisers, different community projects they're involved in. The biggest one lately was the Paradise Fire in Butte County about 2 years ago. Basically wiped out one chapter that was located in Paradise. And some of them are still going through struggles from that fire. And most of the chapters, if not all of the chapters, have helped out financially, volunteering labor, volunteering materials, that kind of thing. So that's what we do basically. Now, also, we have the Veteran Service Officer Program. I have 2 dedicated service officers, one in Long Beach, one in Walnut Creek. They handle claims by telephone, by email, you name it. They work claims throughout the state and the country, for that matter. One of my service officers who keeps track of his retro pay, and you know what that is. You file a claim, you wait a long time, it gets adjudicated, and all that time from when you filed the claim to when it's adjudicated is retro pay. He's collected over $102,000 in retro pay for his veterans so far this year. And that's a very important thing. When I first became a service officer, I was told by the instructor, he told us all, this is a very important position. You can make a difference if somebody's sleeping under a park bench or sleeping in a bed in an apartment of their own, depending on how well you do their claim and how service connected they are in order to have their compensation. I don't know. It's just by rote. Involved in the national organization. I've been on the board of directors for 14 years. Been through some trying times like 2020. Been through some good times before that. And we actually, as an organization, VBA has survived 2020. come out with a fat budget. We made money actually during the time and wisely spent our money or didn't spend our money. And we came out with a good budget for this fiscal year. Looks like we're going to be doing a lot of things. For example, we have a convention, national convention coming up in August. It was in August, but it got transferred because of COVID till November. And we'll be in Greensboro, North Carolina for our national convention. Haven't been there since 2001 for a convention then. So we'll elect officers, board of directors, regional directors. We'll vote on amendments and resolutions that continue the organization forward.
Dick, you also, the California State Council also helps incarcerated veterans, homeless veterans, women veterans,
absolutely,
all kinds of people.
Yes, we have dedicated committee chairs with their committee members that take care of, oh my gosh, as you mentioned, incarcerated veterans, women veterans, POW, MIA. We have a Public Affairs chair. We do a newsletter every 2 months or so. And we reach out to whoever needs help. We can help financially in some cases. And again, like I said, volunteer time or materials to help out situations. We especially work with the homeless. We know that's a big problem. In LA, it's a huge problem. Some 4,000 homeless veterans in LA County. And we are working to help out that situation to get those folks off the streets.
Now, Dick, I know that there's got to be some Vietnam veterans out there that would love to get involved with your organization. What would be the best way for them to contact you to become a member?
I can give you an email address, and that's the best way. I work a lot of things by email. Of course, the last 14 months of lockdown. It's dick.southern@gmail.com. Okay. Real simple, dick.southern@gmail.com. I answer emails rather rapidly, and I can get you folks an application, point them towards a chapter in their area, and help them out that way. I'm also, didn't get it down in the resume, but I'm also the National Membership Affairs Committee Chair.
Right, right.
Charles,
do you have any questions for Dick?
So you guys work for veterans that are trying to like get disability or whatever, things like that. Is that one of your main things, or not necessarily the main thing? But
Charles, your mic is awfully low.
I can hear him.
Can you guys?
That's better.
To answer your question, yes, we do. That's what my service officers do, is take claims, find the cause that has to be service-connected, and we write claims, and we get those claims adjudicated and get a monthly tax-free income for the veteran if we can prove his case.
Yeah, well, that's the, because I'm actually going through a claim myself. When I signed up in 1982, before I made it home from my, I graduated from the defense mapping school, I had a car accident. It almost killed me. And I didn't realize until about 3 or 4 years ago that I may have qualified for disability back then. Of course, nobody said anything. So I'm kind of fighting that, I'm going through that phase right now. So, the bottom line is I'm still here. I'm blessed, life is good, so, I'm not going to throw in the towel on it. I've been denied twice, but I have one more. I'll see a law judge. So anyway, you know about all that stuff. Maybe I can call you and we'll talk.
Yep. That's pretty common. Deny until they die is one of our favorite mottos.
Yeah,
the VA is not forthcoming in a lot of quick access to your claim. We've recently started doing a lot of the Afghanistan, Iraq, the new veterans after 9/11. There's some terrible things happening with toxic substances and burn pits that we're fighting just tooth and nail. The latest victory we had was about a year ago when we got what's called the Blue Water Navy veterans included in claims. These are the people that were 12 miles out on destroyers, aircraft carriers, tenders, that kind of a thing, that they said, well, there was no way they could be involved in Agent Orange being that far offshore. They'd already given the brown water Navy, those within the 12-mile limit, inside or up the river, the Delta, they'd already given them Agent Orange claims. And like I said, recently we got a Blue Water Navy veterans Agent Orange bill passed where they are now eligible. We found out that they transported Agent Orange. They were flown out of their carriers. It was pretty common situation, overspills. Exposure to Agent Orange and dioxin is proven to be pretty deadly, not only to causing cancers and so forth within the veteran, but there's strong cases of evidence that's passed on generationally to their children or their children's children. So grandkids are getting sick from Agent Orange because of the veteran's service in Vietnam with the Agent Orange. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And we're not even talking about Camp Lejeune and its water that was contaminated. And now they found that out along with other places. You know, a good example of what happens with toxic substances is, you know, when you're in an airplane and it's wintertime and they're going to fly, they run out the de-icer machines and they de-ice your wings and the body and everything else. The question is where does all that chemicals go? It goes into the sewer, goes into the water system eventually. And that's a toxic substance. So we're looking at that on Air Force bases, Army bases, where there was problems. A good example, Fort Gordon, Georgia actually had a Vietnamese village that they trained in, and they were so expertise at it, they sprayed it with Agent Orange.
Wow.
And but it was a training facility.
You've been so informative. I really appreciate you. We would have you to continue talking and coming back, but we have to move on to our other guests. But listen, Matt can vouch for the credibility of Operation Confidence. Our purpose for this show is to be able to provide stable housing and resources for our veterans, especially those with a disability. And I'm going to send you an email, my friend, so that we can get you involved with what we're doing. I really want you to see where we are now and where we're on our way, okay?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. And thank you again.
My pleasure.
Now, I'll see you again, Dick.
Thank you.
Now, Brooke, would you please introduce our next segment and host?
You got it, Connie. I would like to introduce U.S. Army veteran and team member Martha Elena Varela, who has a new weekly segment entitled Lifeline for Women Vets. Ms. Varela is the Women's Veterans Outreach Coordinator, U.S. Army Veteran, National Women's Veterans Foundation, Community Outreach and Information Services, with 20 years of nonprofit experience working with inner city communities. An Army veteran, she was a combat field medic who holds a degree in social work, youth studies, and multicultural studies. She received her MPA from City University of New York and completed her graduate research at the California Endowment, California's largest private health foundation. Martha is a proud mother of two boys and a new grandmother. Today, Martha will introduce her amazing guest, Army veteran Ms. Keisha Dixon. Welcome, Ms. Dixon, and take it away, Martha.
Thank you. Just a small correction. I'm the Women Veteran Outreach Coordinator at the National Veterans Foundation, and we're located here in Los Angeles, California. We help both local and national vets. It was very exciting to hear our last guest speaker kind of talk about the resources that are available, definitely going to be reaching out to him. And yes, today I am here to introduce and welcome Ms. Keisha Dixon. Keisha Dixon is a Army veteran, Army National Guard veteran, entrepreneur, best-selling author, and international best-selling author, and mother of two children who she is fighting to regain custody of after her return from her deployment in Iraq in 2005. Sergeant Dixon served 8 years in the California Army National Guard, and after years of frustration, Ms. Dixon really wanted to help address the mistreatment of women veterans. So she started KD Unlimited in August of 2016. KD Unlimited is home for the She Deserves collection, specialty t-shirts for women veterans, and the amazing international best-selling short read, Life After War. Yes, you can. Keisha has also dedicated her life to service, turning her trauma into triumph, and currently serves as an active servant leader in her community. She is an activist for child safety, an advocate for mental health, healing, and self-care, a proud Army veteran, serial entrepreneur. Again, we also have want to hear more about the books that you have written, and she is also a certified peer and family support. Keisha is on a mission of building a better self, family, community, and one world, a dream at a time. Thank you so much, Keisha, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Thank you. Now, I know I met Ms. Dixon here not too long ago when she contacted us at the National Veterans Foundation, actually to give a donation of some wonderful clothes and some accessories and some small, you know, health and beauty things that women veterans find absolutely enjoyable when they're able to get them through a donation. So first and foremost, I want to recognize her for that and say thank you for the donation. We were able to give those give some of those clothing items out to some of our female veterans who really enjoyed them. So again, thank you for that. And I was struck by her story, you know, much like we're trying to highlight and what we've heard about how female veterans who have experienced some of that trauma, whether it's, you know, as we heard last week, the military sexual trauma and or some of the family trauma that happens, right? Some of the dynamics that transpire after we're, you know, called to active duty. So I wanted just first off, Keisha, to give us a little bit of a background on who you are, where you grew up, you know, kind of a little bit about how we got to that point, and then we'll kind of elaborate on some of the other stuff.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Keisha Dixon. I was born in Los Angeles, raised in Inglewood, California. Yes, Inglewood.
All right.
single parent home. My mom raised four children by herself with one job, and I just don't understand how she did it.
Wow.
She's a strong lady.
Sure was, that's for sure.
Okay, Keisha. Now you have a what you call the She Deserves collection, which is a specialty collection that honors women who served in the military by making women service members visible. Please tell us a little bit about the 26 phenomenal women that you that fought beside you that you honor, and a little bit about your t-shirt collection.
Yeah, so the She Deserves collection was brought on from frustration, because anytime you go anywhere, it's easy to identify one of the male soldiers. But for the female soldiers, we're not easily identifiable, especially when we have our children around us. So it makes it kind of difficult for people to say, oh, you were in the military, but thank you for your service. So I created the She Deserves collection, which is the t-shirt line to honor the women who I served with during my tour in Iraq. So each shirt in the collection is in honor of them. So that way, and for any female veteran who has served, so that way when we're out in our communities, we're easily identifiable and we can get a thank you for your service or just start the conversation and communication between each other and getting to know our sisters in arms while we're out in the community. So that's what the She Deserves collection is about.
And you know the important subject, we heard about this a little bit last week, but too many female veterans do not identify as veterans, right? We just disconnect and detach from the military community after, you know, our enlistment is over. And I know that I have also experienced that. So as I've learned in this new position to really focus in on what some of the, you know, the issues are, sort of the background is surrounding female veterans. That is definitely one of the things that, one of the messages we hear over and over. So this, you know, really helps address that, you know. So, and again, I was able to give one of the t-shirts that you, I think you donated too. So I took one and donated the other. So thank you for that, because, you know, it really hits home. And it wasn't until recent when I reconnected in this wonderful position with the National Veterans Foundation that I reconnected. So that's really true. And I had been out of the service for over 20 years. So thank you so much for that piece, because it is a really important and it is an issue that we have heard surfaces within the women veteran community. Now, I also wanted to ask you a little bit about the books that you have written. And you are an Amazon International best-selling author, also an international, you know, recognized author. And so I'd like, if you could, for us, just share with us a little bit about what those books are about and sort of how you were motivated to become an author.
Well, I was motivated to become an author. It just so happened to take part from me writing down information from my court case. And I just wanted to keep track of everything so I can just give that information to my attorney and let him know what's going on with the case. And it turned out that I was keeping these notes and I was like, this is pretty long, so this can be a book. So I started writing for a book, and that turned out to be 300 pages. And then I came across Miss Lisa Nichols and her team of writers, and I was introduced to a team of marketing called Kid Marketing, and they helped me cut down the book to make it more friendly user. Is that the right word? User-friendly.
User-friendly.
User-friendly. So that way you can keep this book by your side on your journey and just reflect. And each time you read it, I want people to come up with something new, because at the end of the book, I give 5 tips on making your dreams come true and living your best life and living up to your potential. So, and setting goals. And when you set one goal, you can go back through the book. You may find something that you didn't catch before while you're on this new journey to accomplishing your next goal. So that book, it's called Life After War. Yes, you can. And it's a short read. It's only 30 pages. And I do dedicate in the beginning of the book to veterans. But this book is for anyone. It's called Life After War. Yes, you can. And that's just pertaining to life's warfare, our day-to-day journey and the struggles that we have to go to, but we are able to overcome them.
Great. And, you know, and I know that you, you know, have talked a little bit about what that struggle was for you and how it has influenced you to kind of turn that into triumph. Tell us a little bit, if you will, to your comfort, what that struggle was for you coming back from war in 2005 and kind of what that journey has been for you. I know that you have dedicated your life to justice and really, you know, making sure that you tell your story so that other women like you who have come back from active duty to face, you know, custody battles can be influenced and empowered by your journey. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was like for you coming back?
That journey, child custody, is still in process, and it has been my biggest challenge and my greatest reward. Because for the last 11 years, my case has been in the Long Beach court. In 2004, I was deployed to Iraq, and I provided a family care plan, and I left my mother as guardian for my daughter, who was then 2 at the time. And I was deployed 3 days after her second birthday. So I wanted just to for her to have a consistent environment. So I just wanted me to be the person that was moving around and for her to be there with my mother and have visits with her dad on a weekend like we would normally do. But with the family care plan, it fell through and things did not go accordingly because of the stamp that was placed on the paperwork.
Wow.
So it became a really big issue. And that was the reason why I got out of the military in 2009, because then I had two children. Because I had my son in 2000. And I came back from Iraq in 2005. And then I had my son in 2006. So I didn't want to be deployed again and have to deal with the same issue with two children. So I just got out of the military in 2009 in May. And by October, we were still having some issues. So I turned to the court so that we can get a custody schedule put in place. And once he was served with the paperwork, he filed a restraining order against me. So I didn't see my children for months. And this went on where he was calling children's services. And in 2012, I was falsely imprisoned. And that's how he gained full custody of the children. Because while I was in jail, he was in court and he was granted full custody. So I'm fighting. I have a family law case in Long Beach, and then I have this criminal case in Compton. So I'm just dishing out money, trying to be able to see my children. And in 2013, after living in this two-bedroom apartment with my children, I was evicted. And I was homeless for a while. And, you know, life happens. And I'm just trying to figure it out. And then you have your life's warfare. And my dad passed away. And that was the moment for me that I got clarity and wanted to make the best of my time here on earth and do what I can to make sure that children are protected and safe.
That is so touching. God bless you for what you've gone through and what you're dealing with now. And you have our prayers, especially mine. I know everyone else is listening too. Oh, and I want to thank you, Martha, for having you on the show. I mean, you have to come back. I mean, we can all from your experience. And Martha says it's going to be weekly. So you make sure you come back and bring some of your colleagues and just show us what you're doing. You know, maybe you can take a chapter out of the book or a paragraph out of the book that's going to help somebody else. And what you're going through is going to help someone else. But we got your back, girlfriend.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you.
And Keisha, can you share your information with the audience so that if there are any resources, attorney resources or any sort of court related resources that they may be able to reach out directly to you? Do you have Instagram or your Facebook or any sort of social media handles where people can get in touch with you?
Yes, I do. I'm on Facebook at KD Dixon. She Deserves Collection. I'm also on Instagram at she_deserves_collection. And I'm also on LinkedIn under Keisha Dixon, Mother on a Mission for Family Law Justice.
Okay. And can you email us your contact information and your resources? We have a resource page on our website. We'd love to include you on that site.
Sure. Okay. I'll make sure to get that to you.
Please do. And thank you so much, Martha, for having her on. She's been amazing. We're looking forward to other women that's going to be on your shows, on your segment as well. Now we have to move on to hot news with Charles Whitehead. Come on, Charles.
Hot news.
He's so funny.
All right. This is hot news because, this is about dating. Looking for the right mate? Military Cupid is a leading military dating site, helping thousands of military singles and civilians find their perfect match in uniform. With a remarkable member base of over 1 million military personnel and civilians, whether you're looking for a military pen pal or love in the armed forces, you can find it on Military Cupid. Believe me, they have an exclusive military dating, and it's trusted by over a million people. It was started in 2006. Military Cupid is part of the well-established Cupid media network that operates over 30 reputable niche dating sites. With the commitment to connecting singles everywhere, hey, they bring an exclusive military dating site. Their membership base is made up of over 1 million, and it's growing. Civilians and singles in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marines, and various other military organizations based around the world. They are committed to helping you find the perfect match no matter where in the world you may be. Now, for a fun, safe, and unique military dating experience, you got to join. It's like Lotto. You got to be in it to win it. So if you want to join within the United States and Canada, the phone number is area code 844-968-0958. I say 844-968-0958. Or you can visit their website at www.militarycupid.com. Yeah, that's one more time. www.militarycupid.com. Don't miss your date.
There you go. Wow. Taylor, come on, girlfriend. Tell us a little bit about your segment. He's so come good.
After that.
Great. What you say? You can't come after that. Yes, you can.
No. there are 5.5 million wheelchair users, according to the USA Census. I'm one of those users and living proof that you can look fashionable and cute even in a wheelchair. Use this opportunity to reinvent yourself with clothing that rediscover your own beauty. There are lots of clothes that look good when one is seated, such as, firstly, the fit is essential to looking polished. So have every garment that does not fit altered until it's perfect for you. Second, remember that you can't hide in the crowd, and you shouldn't. You will always be noticed, so always try and look your best. Focus on separates. Individual pieces that you can mix and match offer you the advantage of buying different sizes for tops and bottoms for the best fit, as well as offering you multiple outfit possibilities. On the other end of the spectrum, don't show too much skin in mini skirts, micro shorts, or crop tops. Add color, texture, print, or even sparkle to some degree in some outfits. Scarves are a great accessory too. Brooke?
Now it's time to hand it back over to Matt so that he can help us acknowledge a special American invisible hero. Take it away, Matt.
Okay. Some time ago, I had the privilege of meeting a gentleman by the name of Tibor Rubin. He was a young man who was put in a concentration camp in Austria as a child. And thankfully, the American liberators came and got him out of that concentration camp. And when that happened, he pledged his life to serve this country. And he began doing that in Korea. And at the time, unfortunately, he was captured by the Chinese along with other allied troops. Together they were taken to a POW camp, and it was his actions here that are basis for the third part of his Medal of Honor citation. By the time he was taken prisoner by the Chinese, he'd been wounded by shrapnel in his hand, chest, and leg. Rubin chose to remain in the prison camp called Death Valley by those who were kept there, despite offers from the Chinese to return him to Hungary, which had fallen behind the Iron Curtain. Rubin immediately began sneaking out of the camp at night in search of food for his comrades, certain death if he was caught. And that did not deter Rubin from breaking into enemy food storehouses and gardens and bringing food back to his fellow soldiers. Rubin used maggots to save a man from gangrene and showed men how to combat lice and rally their spirits. His acts of bravery and compassion kept between 35 and 40 soldiers alive until they were finally set free. On September 23rd, President George W. Bush presented the Medal of Honor to Reuben in a ceremony at the White House. During his remarks, the president recounting many of Corporal Reuben's remarkable acts. He saved the lives of hundreds of his fellow soldiers. In the heat of battle, he inspired his comrades with his fearlessness. And amid the inhumanity of Chinese prisoner of war camp, he gave them hope. Some of those soldiers are here today, and they have never forgotten what they owe this man. And by awarding the Medal of Honor to Corporal Reuben, today the United States acknowledges a debt that time has not diminished. Tibor Reuben was a longtime resident of Garden Grove, California, worked in his brother's liquor store nearby Long Beach, and he remained on active duty as a volunteer at the Long Beach Veteran Hospital, where he later received an award for 20,000 hours of service. In 2017, that same medical center was renamed in his honor. He has survived a Nazi concentration camp, brutal combat in the hills of Korea, and in a Chinese prisoner of war camp. Reuben passed away on December 5th, 2015, at his California home in his adopted country, in which he pledged his life.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's the story of a hero.
That was a beautiful, beautiful story. Thank you. Take it away, Brooke.
Before Ms. Connie closes, I would like to remind our listeners about our amazing advertisement rates. We have 10-second and 30-second advertisement slots available. Please email info@operationconfidence.org for more information. That email address, again, info@operationconfidence.org. Also, I'd like to inform our viewers and radio listeners about Amazon Smile. When making your next purchase on Amazon, please go to Amazon Smile and type in Operation Confidence in the Choose Your Organization donation box. Amazon will make a small donation to Operation Confidence.
Thank you. And as always, we want to remind our listeners that our goal for this show is to raise awareness about Operation Confidence and our mission, which is to provide stable housing for veterans, especially those that are disabled and homeless. We want to offer supportive services, including employment opportunities, and we need your support. So if anyone out there in radio land or in Facebook land would like to get involved with our grassroots mission, please contact us at info@operationconfidence.org. Once again, info@operationconfidence.org. And visit our website at www.operationconfidence.org and go to our resource page. We have some amazing resources that our veterans can use. And we're winding down to the conclusion of the show. We're still waiting on Charles to tell us when his entertainment. He thought I was going to let you get away with it. To come back with his entertainment segment. When are you going to have that, Charles?
We'll start next month in May. So
next month, you lining them up, huh?
Lining them up.
Okay. And Martha, can you tell us who your guest would be for next week, please?
Absolutely. Next week, I've invited Air Force veteran Melanie Alvarez, who runs the Veteran Employment Program at the Goodwill in Los Angeles on San Fernando Road, to join us next week. And Melanie is a very active women veteran, just very connected. And so I'm excited. She has already confirmed. We had two confirm in advance last Sunday. So very exciting segment planned for next week.
That's wonderful. Thank you. We want to thank Dick. Dick, are you still around? We want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. And Ms. Dixon, I think she signed off for coming on the show today. And we look forward to you coming back. And this concludes our show for today. Make sure to tune in next Sunday from 2 o'clock to about 2:50, 2:51. And we want to say goodbye, everyone. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Next time.
Thanks, Dick. Thanks, Dixon. And what about you, Chalk? Give us our sign off.
Got to wait for the music.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Don't go anywhere. The most irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk is happening right now on LA Talk Radio.
Stand above me, look my